Not that song. You're only guaranteed today. You can't wait till tomorrow to make up your mind or you'll be left behind. Thank you, Shannon. That was an awesome song. You did great. Last week I asked the people that were here to look up scriptures that had to do with God's love and see if they could find the ones I'm going to use today. So if you did, I hope you shared this one. I told him last week I've been thinking about God's love. See, God loves us every minute of the day, and I find it remarkable that when I waver, God doesn't. His love stays just as strong for me as it always is. No matter if I doubt him, if I turn from him, his love is there. He draws us back into his love. I read a book by Max Lucado a while back. The title was simply 316. Everybody probably knows what that means. The entire book focuses on just one single scripture out of the Bible. It might be the most significant scripture ever written. See, preschoolers can recite it. You can't go to a sporting event, you don't see it written on a cardboard sign somewhere. It's brief enough to write on a napkin to share with someone. You can memorize it in just a minute. And it's withstood 2,000 years of storms and questions. It begins with God and ends with life. And it urges us to do the same. Of course, I'm talking about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to share some people that's made an impact in their life. This one says, I love John 3:16 because it is the gospel in a nutshell. It shares God's great love for us and our great need for him. Max Powell of Third Day. John 3:16 is the foundation of my faith, a picture of undeserved, unconditional, and unwavering love from a father to his kids. Ernie Johnson, he's a broadcaster on TNT. John 3:16 is the North Star of the Bible. If you align your life with it, you can find your way home. Ann Graham Lotz. And this is the promise that bears hope for the hopeless. When we finally realize I can't do it on my own, this is the Father responding, I know, so I've done it for you. That's Jeff Foxworthy. So if you know nothing of the Bible, this is where you begin. And if you know everything there is to know about the Bible, this is where you go back to. This is the hope diamond of the scriptures. But before we can get to 3:16, we got to set the stage. It begins with a shadowy figure sneaking through the dark streets of Jerusalem. You see, it's Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, and he's on his way to see Jesus of Nazareth. But he can't walk there in the daylight. He can't be seen because he's one of the religious elite that rejects Jesus Christ. So he does it by night. He does it in the shadows. He decided to seek Christ out, and he made his way to the house where Jesus was staying. John 3:2 and 3:3 says, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not sure what was on Nicodemus' mind because he admitted that Jesus Christ had to be from God because of the miracles that he does. But I do know where Jesus was going. He was laying out the plan of salvation. He was explaining it to Nicodemus, and it reaches its climax in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In this one verse, we see the whole gospel of Jesus Christ and how it relates to us. I want to look at the beauty of the verse today. It begins with two simple words. He loves. God so loved the world. Without God's love, it would be a game changer. If these words weren't true, all we do, we're existing on a rock that's hurtling through space. No hope, no future, nothing to live for, no love. We have no greater purpose to our existence. Every death would just simply be an end. Every grave would just be a place of despair because there's no hope in the world. There's no love in the world. But God does love the world. We see it in every sunrise. We see it in every blade of grass. Every child's face. Every fountain of water. God so loved the world. Have you ever watched Veggie Tales? If you've ever been here on Wednesday, you can see them. It's a show with computer animated vegetables that tell Bible stories. And in the end, Bob the Tomato says, "Remember, kids, God made you special and he loves you very much." And isn't that the message of John 3:16? We're special and God loves us very much. Isn't that the message that the world needs to hear? Just not those ones of us in this room today. 5 times in John's gospel, he described himself as a disciple that Jesus loved. Jesus loved these other disciples too, but John took great joy in the fact that he was loved by Jesus Christ. And all of us here today can adopt that theme into our lives. We can stand up and say, "I am the disciple that Jesus Christ loves," because we are. We're all loved by Christ. We can repeat it to ourselves all day long, and we should. Every time you're just about to mess up, every time you're about to walk away, just repeat to yourself, "I'm the disciple that Jesus Christ loved. Jesus loves me." Isn't that awesome? What did we do to deserve that? We didn't do anything. Jesus just loves us. Every one of you here today is special. Special in his eyes. Look around you. There are special people on each side of you, all around you, that Jesus loves. Take that truth with you every day. The Bible says in Romans 8:38 and 39, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Max Lucado writes in another one of his books, and I just love this. I should have this hanging on my refrigerator. It says, "If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk, he'll listen. He can live anywhere in the universe, and he chose your heart." You're special. God chose you. He loves, and because he loves, he gives. Jesus said, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." Just to say "I love you" doesn't really mean a whole lot. It's just empty words. But love, agape love, is a verb and it takes an action. It has to be proven. It has to be demonstrated. God's love included. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." His love was demonstrated. Sounds kind of strange to some people. So many people in the world respect the teaching of Jesus but don't understand his taking his life for our sins. There's no significance in his death to them. They say, "I've led a good life. I've held a good job. I'm kind to my neighbors. I'm good to the people around me. My wife loves me. My children loves me. What do I need with Jesus Christ? I don't need God to give his son for me." But are we really as good as we think we are? Well, now's another time for one of my little tests. See how well we score against God's basic laws, the Ten Commandments. Number one, you shall not steal. Have you ever taken anything? A paperclip, a pencil, stole an apple out of the neighbor's tree? If you have, you're guilty of theft. You must not lie. Well, there's an easy one. Anyone who claims they never have just did. You shall not take the name of your Lord, of the Lord your God, in vain. Ever let his name slip out in a moment of passion? You're angry, something breaks. You're mad at your kids, you're mad at your neighbors, you're mad at yourself. Well, if you've let his name slip out, that's called blasphemy, and that's sin. Well, how about you shall not commit adultery? Now, before you grade yourself on that one, remember, Jesus said that if you so much as look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. And ladies, that goes the same for you too. So how we do? That's just 4 out of 10. But I don't think we'd fare much better with the rest of them. You see, when we're honest, we know we're not really all that good. Not all the time. We all have regrets. We've all made mistakes. And the Bible calls that sin. And we do it all the time. Romans 3:23 says, "For we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So if we're going to have any real relationship, any kind of relationship with our Creator at all, it's up to Him to find a way to reconcile. And that's where Jesus comes in. He determined to build a bridge with an old rugged cross. He gave Himself that we could come to Him. He gave Jesus to bring salvation, not only to those in this room, but to the whole world. See, Jesus loves us. He wants us. In verse 14, Jesus alludes to an event in the Old Testament. It's a story told in Numbers 21. It's a story of sin. You see, the children of Israel, God's own special people, rebelled against God. They were sinning in the desert. So God sent poisonous snakes that bit the people so that many died. But it's also a story of grace. Moses interceded for the people, and God provided a way out. He provided a remedy. He told Moses to make a brass serpent and put it on a pole and lift it high above the people for everyone to see. Anyone who had been bitten could then look on the serpent and would be immediately healed. And we're in a similar situation. The whole world has been bitten by sin. And the wages of sin is death. Just as the serpent was lifted up on that pole for the people to look at for healing, Jesus was lifted on a cross for us to look to for our healing. God sent His Son to die not only for Israel, but for the whole world. And although God's remedy was sufficient for Israel, it was only effective to those who looked up. And Jesus Christ is effective for our whole world. And His sacrifice was sufficient. But it's only efficient if we believe. Jesus said God gave His one and only Son so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish. This concept runs contrary to what we normally believe. It's so simple. It's too simple. We expect a more complicated cure, a harder way to get there. And what about the Bible verse where God says, or it says, God helps those who help themselves? Well, that's not really in the Bible. No other religion offers what Jesus promises. Judaism sees salvation as a judgment day based on morality. Buddhism grades your life according to the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path. Muslims earn their way to Allah by performing duties of the five pillars of faith, All these things require action and your change and earning your way to salvation, but not Christianity. We don't have to earn our way to salvation. We only have to do one simple thing. We have to believe. Listen to what the Bible says about belief. John 1:12 says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." John 3:18 says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." I tell you the truth, whoever believes has eternal life. John 6:47. John 7:38, "He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God." Maybe you're thinking about baptism, repentance, changed lives. Those are all important. But that is not your salvation. That is a reflection of your salvation, a reflection of your faith. Those are things that are in addition to your belief. It's a representation of the changes that you've made inside. Jesus wants us to see it's not because of what I've done, but because of who he is. It's not because of who I am, but because of what he has already done. All he asks is for us to put our trust in him. No matter how good I am in this life, no matter how I treat the people around me, the good deeds that I perform, that amounts to nothing. It's my belief in Jesus Christ and my trust in him that gets me to heaven. I have a once upon a time for you. Once upon a time, there lived a wealthy man. And he amassed great wealth, great treasures, art, a great mansion, a lot of antiques throughout his life. But the one thing he cherished the most and brought joy to his heart was his one and only son. Well, his son died, and it left that man to mourn the rest of his life. He still had his treasures, he still had his mansion, but he didn't have his son. And the man passed away with no heirs to his fortune. So it was decided, according to his will, to have a great auction. People come from all around. They heard about the treasures. They wanted a chance to see him, to bid on him, maybe buy some great things from around the world. And the day of the auction, the place was full. People were noisy. They were anxious for the auction to start. And the auctioneer come out, and the first thing he put up for sale was a picture of the man's son, very amateurishly drawn. He says, "Who will bid on this picture?" No one bid. He said, "This picture must sell first," and no one had bid. The people got noisy. They said, "Put it down. Let's get on with the auction. Let's get on with the good stuff. That's what we're here for." But the auctioneer wouldn't proceed, and finally, a caretaker bid a dollar. He'd been there. He knew the man. He knew the son. And the auctioneer said, "Any other bids?" And they yelled, "Sell it, sell it. We don't want it." So he banged the gavel, sold. And then he raised his gavel again and said, "The auction is over." He gave the picture to the gardener and said, "He who gets the son gets everything. Everything here now belongs to you." And God has done the same thing for us. Whoever has a son has life. Whoever does not have the son does not have life. Max Lucado says, "God rewards those who seek him, not those who seek doctrine or religion or systems or creeds. Many settle for these lesser passions, but the reward goes to those who settle for nothing less than Jesus himself. And the reward is that when we believe, we live. Whoever believes in him," Jesus said, "shall not perish but have eternal life." You see, paradise lost will be paradise restored. The paradise that we lost when sin entered this world will be restored. Long ago, God declared, I will make a new heaven and a new earth. See, God's plan for this earth wasn't to destroy it, but to redeem it, to renew it, and to restore it to a perfect paradise that was before the fall. Although the glory of heaven will be beyond description, we can certainly imagine a better world of beauty, a paradise as God intended it to be. One of the greatest blessings of heaven is what won't be there. There'll be no death, no disease or divorce, no trials, no tribulations, no turmoil, no funeral homes, no abortion clinics, no psychiatric wards, no worry or depression or economic downturns, no hidden agendas, backroom deals, no betrayals, but there will be close friendships with no cliques. There'll be laughter with no put-downs. There'll be intimacy, but no temptation to immorality. What a wonderful world we have to look forward to. But there's more. God says, when Jesus comes riding on the clouds, those who believe in Jesus Christ will rise. And after the resurrection, we'll be given new bodies. 1 Corinthians 15:41-44 says, there is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for stars differ from star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, and it is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Indestructible, honorable, glorious, and powerful. That's how we'll rise. That's how we'll be reborn. Most amazing thing will be our intimate relationship with our Creator, with our Lord and Savior. Revelation 21:3 says, I have heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Imagine your relationship with God, a spiritual body, a spiritual relationship. We'll be able to understand all those things that we can't understand here in this world. We can truly understand the depth of God's love, the wonder of his power, and the joy that he had in store for us. I can't imagine what it'll be like, but I know it'll be better than this world. John 3:16 in a nutshell. He loves, he gives, we believe, and we live. And that's really all you have to know. You're special in God's eyes, and he loves you. In one verse of the scripture, you have the path to salvation. And it's really just that simple. He loves, he gives, we believe, and we live. Now, if you're wondering if you've ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to say you probably haven't, because you know his love. But we're never guaranteed another tomorrow. All we have is today. We have this moment in time. And I urge you, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't put it off. Shannon's song was so perfect this morning. There won't be a second chance. As we go into this time of invitation, if you want someone to pray with, I'll be here. The deacons, you can pray with the deacons. If you want to talk about salvation. But don't go away from here today in doubt. Let's all stand together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love and for the path that you made for us to come to you. The blood of your Son, of Jesus Christ, Father, you wash us clean that we might come to you in prayer. And Father, I just pray if there's anyone here today that does not know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, this will be the day of their salvation. And Father, those of us who have problems in our lives, I just pray, Father, that we'll come to you with those. As we humble ourselves before you, Father, I come in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.